Happy fall. First day of fall was, I think, yesterday. Well, good to see you. And we're going to do lesson two today of our four-week lesson on evangelism. We are talking about reaching others for Christ. Okay? I thought last week Pastor Bob, nothing to do with the evangelism, that Pastor Bob had just an outstanding sermon. They're all good. Boy, that one was like over the top. Some of you said last week after that, I just can't do this stuff that you talk about. I'm a shy person. I'm quiet. It's not in my nature. Well, that's true. It's not. And we're going to show you where it comes from. But I thought of that when I lived in Hawaii with Pam. I was in the Marine Corps there during the Vietnam War. I went to a little church, wonderful church there, and we would go out for 90 minutes every Sunday witnessing door to door and down to Waikiki Beach there. And we wore blinders when we witnessed. Just, you know what I'm saying? It could be a temptation. But anyway, there was a lady, I don't know, 40, 45 years old, in our group. We had about 12 or 15 of us doing this. In the 2 years I was there, she led more people to Christ than all of us combined. And here's how she talked. Never heard her talk louder than this. "Good morning, Barry. How are you? So glad to see you." That woman was a whirlwind for the gospel. And our church grew because of her testimony. I'm not kidding you. It was unbelievable. I was on a board of a large foundation out of Wheaton, Illinois, I don't know, 20 years ago, for 10 years. Stewards Foundation. So we met 5-6 times around the country. And I became good friends with an attorney on that board. And he was about he was about 70, I think, at that time. And I was like 42 or I don't know what I was. But anyway, he talked like this. Hi, very smart man, very smart, and a lover of Christ, believe me. "Hi, Bar, how are you doing, buddy?" I had this garbly voice, unattractive voice, okay? As I did these visits, you know, we've got to dinner and different things and so on, invariably, he led somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, every trip, okay? And as he led them to Christ, I sat and witnessed this. I saw it in action. He then got their name and phone number and so on. And then the local church that was kind of sponsoring our meetings and stuff, the pastor would follow up on that person. "Are you ready?" I said, "But no," he was like 70 years old, probably saved when he was 30. He was a rough dude before he got saved. I said, "Bob, how many of these have you seen happen in your life?" He said, "About 700. How do you like that?
That's awesome.
Again, if you knew his voice and so on, you'd say, no way. But it happened. It happened. It is doable. We have a fellow in our church. I've never heard him. He's not a real enthusiastic guy, which is fine. I'm not either. He's the opposite of me, and we're best friends. But he works at General Motors, and every week he has a Bible study with 22 people in it. And he has Muslims and Buddhists in the group. How do you like that? You would never think that this dear brother would be capable of doing that, but he is. So isn't it amazing what God can do? And we're going to show you this. He can do it. Any comments?
Amen.
Amen. It's doable. This is why we're here.
That's right.
This is one of the reasons we're here. Left on the earth. I want to be clear, because I tell stories of what I do, and some of you might not. You might say I'm just bragging. I am not bragging at all, and I mean that. I want to be clear. 90% of the time that I'm out in the marketplace or wherever, I do not witness for Jesus Christ. I want you to know I don't. Many times I'm ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Many times I'm scared. I'm afraid that I will not be able to handle it. I will not recall the scriptures that I need at that moment, if you know what I'm saying. So this is a battle that we all battle with. Now, how many of you were not here last week? Raise your hand. Okay, well, you're going to just have to catch up, you know? And it's on this tape. But let me just say, last week we talked about the Great Commission that was given by Jesus to the disciples, that small group in Galilee. The Great Commission, a command, not an idea, not a thought, but a command to reach our world, to reach our family, to reach our friends, to reach our neighbors, okay? To reach our workmates and the marketplace, okay? This is what he wants done. This is how it works, okay? Now, at least three of you, what keeps us from doing this? Give me a couple ideas. What keeps us from doing this actively? Just say it out loud.
Shame. Unbelief.
Comfort. Fear of rejection.
Illiquid.
You don't understand.
Unloving.
He said, you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say, hey, there's an option you can be the witness.
That's right, yeah.
We don't realize the commands of God.
Not loving.
What we're supposed to do.
Go ahead.
When you don't think you can, you're supposed to follow his command anyway, because he can. If man could, we wouldn't need a God.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look at that chart somewhere on page 10 or somewhere. On the back of the one sheet, there's a crazy little chart I gave you. I think I gave this to you in March, too. See that little chart? Can you all see that? Like little dots with lines connecting? Huh? You're in the middle of that dot. Your name's written in the middle. That is the primary way God has chosen to advance the gospel. One person telling another person, telling another person, telling. You see that? Put that on your refrigerator to remind you. The Lord uses sometimes Billy Graham, but
what chart is this?
I don't know. It's a chart. It's a chart. Boy, you guys, I'm just beginning to wonder. Yeah, it's this. It's so little you can't hardly see it. Yeah, it's that chart. You see the little dots. That's how it works. Okay? I remember we started Lakeside Bible Chapel in our family room in 1976. If any of you know, it's at 17 in Hayes. Anyway, but through a Bible study we had that Pam and I helped start a long time ago, that church started. But anyway, there was a guy who had been in prison for selling drugs, marijuana, believe it or not. And he'd gotten out of prison and gotten saved, Eddie Garbarino. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. In 18 months, we saw like 18 people saved. Okay, it was wonderful. He brought in all the bad people around town, and they got saved, a lot of them, because of his lifestyle, because of him, the change. It was a message like you wouldn't believe. But there was a guy in there that got saved, Carmine Calabello and his wife, Betty. I tell you what, at Lakeside Bible Chapel, within, I don't know, a year of Carmine getting saved, every Sunday, there would be at least right there, and right there. All these people had been led to Christ by him. 80% of them were from his family. And today, he's with the Lord now, and so is Betty. And today, that's like 30 years ago, today, they're still having a Bible study. His brother. Yeah, out in Shelby Township. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it just used to rock my socks to look down there and just say, wow, Carmine, God has sure favored you. Huh?
Because he's obedient.
He was obedient.
You will be.
And he would lead the Bible study. He led the study. 6 months is saved. He's leading the study.
That's right.
Oh, man. Any comments? All right, let's pray. Father, ignite our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take your little outline. I just want to show you what I have here. Everybody got a track, a neat track that I actively use and I like. And I went out and got 70 of them. Look at, they're laying all over the place here. It's cool. The outline, this is the outline we're going to try to follow today. It's for you, for the one or two of you that are actually taking notes. This is, we're going to have a little fun with this. This is Pastor Bob's outline for me, how to share the gospel. Have you ever seen Bob use fewer words than this? Look at that. I'm going to show you. He gave me this. He said, Barry, use it. Use it. Show people how to lead people to Christ. 4 words. And then that chart. And then I've got here the 10 most wanted list. I want you, some of you, because I'm going to do something special here today, I want you to start putting down people that you want to reach for Christ, really want to reach them. And you want to explain to them the gospel, okay? So I put down the 10 most wanted list.
I love that.
You like it? Make a copy, put that on your bulletin board and say, hey, here we go. Okay. Now, where are we at here? All right, got it, got it. That little packet, now I got that. This is not a theology class that we're doing here for 4 weeks, okay? This is a boots on the ground, walking with Jesus type class, okay? I promise you that when we do the Ephesians section of this talk in at least about a week and a half or whenever that happens soon, it will be verse by verse, sentence by sentence, letter by letter, comma by comma for you expositional teachers, okay? And I'll make you happy. I think I'll make you happy. But this is a little different approach than what we're doing here today. And I want somebody with a good voice. We're going to get to Acts. You just watch. I want somebody with a good voice to read Romans 10, 13 through 16. Mike Wade, read that verse. He just hates me doing this. Romans 10, 13 through 16. That's in the New Testament. Yeah, Romans. R. Go ahead, brother.
Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?
Amen. They need to hear the truth. This is a vital part of the plan of God. Okay? And we'll give you some ideas, and you will be sharing some of these ideas. We're already doing it, okay? And many stories can be told. And all this is designed to try to help us and encourage us to start thinking about doing this so much more. Last week, when we talked about the Great Commission, which was spoken to them in Galilee, they were Galileans, okay? Evangelize. Baptize, disciple. And we spent a lot of time, Fred, on that. So I just want you to know we did a good job. We did all three. And we emphasized the need of the gospel includes discipling or teaching. Aren't you happy, Fred? Okay, I want to make sure. No, because I know you would have said. So that's good. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1. I have a very special speaker today who's going to read this, and I won't say who it is. You try to figure out their voice, who it is. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. 11. Go ahead.
In the first book of Theophilus, I have dealt with all the Jews who began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days, during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
Mm. Boy, I love that. I love it. Okay, I've carved out 4 minutes, 20 seconds for you guys to comment. You've been on notice since Thursday. Thank you, Anna. And what do you see here? What do you see? Go ahead, just start talking. You don't have to raise your hand.
First account was what Jesus began to do.
Yeah.
This account is what Jesus is continuing
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Jesus didn't stop doing anything because he said he would build his church.
Yeah.
And he does that through the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Go ahead, just speak up.
They were wanting to have their kingdom back militarily and domain over the earthly things.
Yeah.
Jesus was teaching them a new kingdom, my Father's kingdom, not on this earth, but a new kingdom.
Yes. Other thoughts?
Hey, Barry.
Go ahead, speak up.
I have the NASB, and right in the middle of verse 2.
Yeah.
It says, "I have been by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles."
Yes. What's your thought?
Self-evident.
Strong, huh?
Many things Christ finished in his earthly ministry, but this is one thing that he has us to continue because it's not completed yet.
That's right.
It's a continuation of his ministry.
Yes. Other thoughts? Just speak up.
It says that you will receive the power from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And honestly, that's the one who should be driving us to share the gospel.
Yeah. Yes.
If we do it in our own strength, we will never.
Yes.
And that could be even worse than, you know.
Yes.
Well, when he taught the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
Yes.
And the thing is when it speaks of praying, you pray for your guy to have food, but you don't give him anything, or you pray for him to be clothed and don't give him anything to war. Well, if you're praying for the kingdom and you don't do anything to share it, your prayer is vain.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, when he sent them out, it was actually a founding of the church as we know it, that we are members, that we are God's children. We are the church, and we are supposed to go out. In the past, their old Judaism was only the Pharisees and Sadducees were capable of teaching and spreading the word, and you were nothing. But now we're a church, and the Holy Spirit will help us.
Like that beautiful Hawaiian lady who never spoke louder than this. God used her. And then wait, Maisie? Wonderful. One more. Go ahead.
It's resurrection power.
One more.
That we have.
Yes.
It's not truly power. It's the same resurrection power that is raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Did
you hear that one? Same power. Go ahead. One more.
The one thing that I realized that I was doing wrong is I was waiting to see if the people that I was waiting on at work had a faith in Jesus before I would share my faith in Jesus. No, God wants me to share my faith in Jesus and be the light to them. And then all of a sudden they start popping out like, oh, tell me more. It's like, okay, I got this now. I've been watching Unashamed podcast. I've been watching MacArthur. I've been doing this like hours upon hours to learn how to evangelize because I totally wanted to get this down. And it works that way. Don't be afraid to share.
I know she does. And I love it. All right, let's continue on. Oh, by the way, is Jeff Wuttke here?
Yep.
Wuttke, can you go get that horn?
Yes.
Okay. At 4 minutes too, blow it. Okay. I forgot, and with these glasses, I can't see that color. All right. Let me give you mine. This is kind of a preach session right here, just for 4 minutes maybe. I don't know yet. I want to address two issues that primarily are focused here with regard to our lesson today. And that is, number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the start, even though it's not mentioned here, but shortly thereafter, the start of the church, the body of Christ. First of all, let's talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. You've already addressed this. This is, to me, a thrilling, thrilling promise. The Spirit of Almighty God within me, the believer, okay, takes place. There was about 40 days here between the resurrection and the ascension, okay? And a lot takes place here, you know, when you really research it. Remember, when you're telling people about the Lord, do not forget the resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you miss that one, you've missed it all. There's lots to be said, but you don't want to miss that one, okay? The beginning of the church is entirely new here. This is something new, the day of Pentecost. And they were commanded to assemble in Jerusalem and wait. Okay? This Father promise would occur in Jerusalem. Wow. And I'll talk on that again in a minute. Next, the ascending Lord's mandate to the apostles, like you've already said. Okay? Perhaps this was given, some have said, perhaps this was given, it doesn't really matter, I don't think, on the Mount of Olives, this particular talk. I'm talking about that part, about that issue. We know they were in the upper room. Now, as you mentioned, they still expected the Lord to establish an earthly kingdom. Okay? Some of them. They thought it was going to happen in Jerusalem. Okay? They were longing for that. But Jesus wisely directed their attention to what was more immediate. What was more immediate. Oh, happy day. I'm so glad he did. Because it includes me and it includes you. Their mission in life, as has already been said, was to witness in Jerusalem, beginning there, and hit the whole world. Okay? That was their mission. My longtime 45-year friend, unsaved friend, who's a Sikh Indian, he'll say to me, I'm so sick of you Christians. I'm so sick of you guys. You're always talking about Jesus and the resurrection and stuff. And you too, Malloy. He was nothing but a hippie. You know, I hate that when he says that. He says, and I take him to these scriptures. I say, well, let me show you what he did. What he did. Here they are. This is why we do it. And because we love and care for you, we want you to know about this. Okay? But he says, you know, why do you have to go out and do all this stuff? Well, we know why. And it's good to show them sometimes.
Yeah.
And then beyond encompassing the whole world. Okay? First, they must receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Made all the difference in the world. Made all the difference in the world. The power is the grand, indispensable power involved in Christian witnessing. Okay? It's essential. It's essential. God may use and has used talented people, musicians, good preachers, very talented people, good-looking people, all kinds of efforts. He may use them. But you got to remember, guys, it originates from within, from the Holy Spirit. Without that, waste of time, okay? And God has used primarily people that don't have all those qualifications necessarily, okay? Because he has chosen the weak vessels of this world to change the world. By the way, it says here that they went to the end of the earth. That included Gentiles. They didn't know this at that time. Peter had to see the sheet. Remember the big sheet? It included Gentiles, and that's me and you. And they had no idea. They would have said, are you kidding me? Gentiles? No way is that part of the kingdom. Yes, that became part of the kingdom. And then he was taken away. And that was the end. Now that's my preach, okay? And I'm not going to let you talk about it because I want to do something. What time is it, Jeff?
9:44.
Oh, we got a lot of time. All right, let's see here. Go back and get my notes. I got that. Isn't it terrible? The terrible part of it is it's unlikely that my vision will ever return to what it was. But that's... So God can use me too, you know. I mean, you might just sit on a chair all day if you had to endure some of this. But I was down in to hear Jamie Dimon speak, Thursday, at Motor City Casino. I've never been in there. This place is like it's got 2 million square feet. It's a huge place. And 1,000 people gathered at the Detroit Economic Club and so on. Well, I was with two, maybe three unsaved guys who invited me to come. And I really enjoyed it. He's the president of the $3 trillion bank, the largest bank in the world. Anyway, as we came out of there, I had one guy who was on crutches because he had had a bike wreck anyway, and he was on crutches, so we're trying to get to his car and all this. And everybody was so friendly. You know, I was amazed. And so a couple people were standing there. I mean, this again is, you know, I honestly could not see their details of their face, per se, but I can still see them. And and as I felt led of the Holy Spirit, I really believe it was the Holy Spirit's doing. We just said, boy, you guys are great. The way you treat people, you're so respectful. You really do a nice job. And they liked that. And then I said to them, you know, I got three unsaved people standing. They know me well. I got three unsaved people. I said, can I pray for you? And we gathered for a prayer meeting in the lobby of the Motor City Casino.
That's awesome.
A blind man. Preaching the gospel.
Blind man's sight.
Thank you. But you could do this, guy. And they loved it.
That's what God wants.
And in my prayer, I told them about Jesus and the resurrection.
Good for you.
So, you know, these are the things we can do, guys. It can be done. And you guys are doing it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You'll be amazed. I can honestly say almost never, well, when I was in Boston, there are a bunch of liberals out there, but when I was in Boston, I did tell one guy to go to hell, and I should not have done that. I said, well, based on what I hear, you're going to be going to hell. And I walked away. Now, I shouldn't do that, but I never do that. But based on what little I do, I hardly ever have somebody turn me down for prayer. Is that true? You know what I mean? They'll pray with you. So use it. All right, let's go. I want to do something neat here. Now let me get my notes here. Yeah, here we go. All right. Now what I'd like to do is take that little chart. Take that little chart that has the Bob Johnston testimony. Now, some of you are going to feel real uncomfortable. I'd like everybody to stand with that chart in hand, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, 2 minutes or less, no more than 2 minutes. That's what Bob told me to do. You can share the gospel in 2 minutes. In fact, he said 90 seconds, effectively. All right? Now, this is going to be crazy. I don't know how we'll do it. Find somebody who's not your mate. Match up. Move around. Come on. We got just a couple minutes. And one of you share the gospel using that outline. Are you ready? Everybody? Anybody got a question? And if you're scared, just sit down and pray for them. And everybody sat down. All right. 90 seconds. Here we go. You got the chart? You got your outline? Find somebody. Grab somebody. All right. Here we go. 2 minutes. Oh, I can't. I'm sorry. You can't find somebody? Well, do it with your hubby. Come on, do it together. I just got to find these notes. All right, you got 30 seconds. 30 seconds. All right, everybody. You can just sit down right there if you want. Wow. Now, this is the most dynamic class we've ever had for interaction. Is Dave Dunham still in the house? He's gone? Okay. I took a video of this. I'm going to give it to Pastor Bob. I'm going to show him how he used his little chart. Hey, so what did you think? What did you think? Come on.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you. Very good.
Helpful? Helpful?
Even a blind guy could teach.
That's right. What do you think?
That's not funny. I'm sorry.
Hey, I heard a lot of laughter. You know, you can tell the gospel and laugh once in a while, too. I mean, we got sin we got to deal with, but we got joy coming in the morning. Good? Was it helpful? All right, I got a challenge. Here we are, my last thing. What do you got, Jeff? Time. Jeff, what key is he?
I lost my book.
52. Oh, we're good. Okay, I got 4 minutes. Yeah, you can blow the horn. Blow the horn. I like that horn. In fact, blow it right now. I want to see. I want some of you to hear it. It won't work? Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, here's what I like to do. Next week, I talked to him. I'm taking a class on Wednesday night, and I'm sitting next to a fellow who was in my class last Advent when I taught this. You know, for those 4 weeks last year. Anyway, he is his name's Brian, dynamic Christian, 4 children, 45 years old, wonderful Christian, and he's a super police officer. He is Border Patrol guy. Boy, but what a humble man, Brian, I forget his last name. But he's the guy that I told you last week, his son. When I taught this the same week, I taught the youth too, you know, on a Wednesday night. His son was so moved by this little track that he went, for those that weren't here last week, he went and presented the gospel to his main teacher. He's 15 years old. And I'm going to bring him in next week, and Brian, 2 minutes they're going to have, and I want him to give testimony of what God did. And he gave the gospel to his teacher. And then the next day, he gave the gospel to his best friend, who's not saved, at lunch. Now, that really excited me. As a matter of fact, that made the whole lesson worth it all to me. More than anything else, sorry if any of you were in the class and you shared some super story. I'm sorry, this was better. I just liked it. I just thought it was so cool that he would do this. You know, 15 years old. Anyway, here's this little track. It's good. It's good. A lot of scripture in here. Who would be willing, and again, but let's just say it, Who would be willing to say, I'm willing to, this week, as God directs, I will take this little track and I will share the gospel with one of the people on my most wanted list? Anybody? I'd like to have just one person be willing to do that. Say your name. Autumn. Oh, I like that. Fall. I like autumn. Autumn. Okay. Why? Who you got in mind, sister? Okay. Oh, I like it. Now, I feel so good. Is there one more who wants to do it?
Deb.
You got one in mind? Who do you got?
My son.
Oh, I like it. I'm not kidding you. You take a look at this, and I think you will find it very helpful. There's at least 13, 14 verses here. Key. I'm very helpful with this. Okay, we got Autumn and Deb. Okay, so the following week for you. Yeah, great, great. That's thrilling. That is absolutely thrilling. Okay, Deb, you'll be next week.
Okay.
I'll give you 2 minutes, 10 seconds. It's terrible. You teach these classes, you know. It's like, I don't have enough time. All right. What did you get out of this class today?
To go out and evangelize.
Amen. What else?
Out of your
company. Yeah.
I have to say, in our house, we have a few of God's promises right on the wall, and almost every day I hit it. And the first thing is, God gave us a new heart and a new spirit. So being timid is not a choice. It's not who I am anymore.
Yeah.
So get over that identification. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
In my truck, I got a Gospel of John. I get Pamphlet's Gospel of John. And
yeah.
I take that and I'm going to hand that out and the Gospel of John. I guarantee you that.
I'll order 500 of these.
I don't know
who yet. I'll order 500. I have to pay for these, yeah. And they're not cheap. I'll get you 500 if anybody wants them. Go ahead, brother.
Jesus said he could use anybody.
Yes.
Evangelize. And when he crossed the Sea of Galilee and was approached by the man possessed with a legion of demons and came down living in a cemetery naked, and exercised the demons out of him and into the pigs, and then they went and drowned. But anyway, he wanted to leave with Jesus in the boat and go with Jesus. He was so happy to be expelled of the demons. And Jesus says, no. You go evangelize in your town.
Go tell.
To Jesus.
That's right.
So,
the capitalist basically means, when he's talking about that, that's 10 cities that he witnessed to.
Yes.
It wasn't just.
That's right.
I mean, he went in his whole region.
Wonderful. Wonderful. One more comment. Anybody? Last word.
We're bond servants.
Amen.
Bond servant. Yeah. He's one who has been bought with a price.
Yes.
Because he was a man that was indebted. We were all indebted. Christ paid the price. And now the life we live is not our own.
That's right.
Amen.
And we have no excuse other than the fact that we're trying to take control of our life.
And I want to tell you something. I wasn't going to mention this today. But in a reliable book that I read in the last 2 years about Christianity, as best as can be documented, these guys did, through the Holy Spirit, an unbelievable job. Through many others, too. But listen to this statistic. I'm a banker, accountant kind of guy. I love numbers. You know, Anna always gets a note from me. Hey, how many were there today? She probably thinks, why does he want to know? I don't know. I like numbers. I do get depressed if only 10 show. But anyway, as best as we can tell, by 300, just before Constantine, by 300 AD, estimated 200 million people on the earth, okay? Estimated 30 million Christians by that time. So in a 300-year period, okay, and they didn't have this in their hands readily. They didn't have a speaker. They did a great job. They told a lot of people. And the world was changed forever. Father, thank you. We've got the greatest message on earth.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not kidding. This is it. Challenge us. Charge us. Help us. to reach the world with the message of the gospel. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have a great week.